This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of Pop Goes the Movies, Hunter PTN Pop Feet. I'm Andy Anderson, and thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about the movie Zombieland Double Tap, the latest major Hollywood release in studios, in theaters right now. And I'm going to be joined by the lovely Jennifer Smith. Jenny, as you well know, is the purveyor of the HBIC over at the Jenny position. She, Freak Out Drive-In, Talking Pop, and Geek and Sassy, amongst other great shows, can be found on that brand new podcast feed. Jenny, how are you tonight?
I'm good. HBIC, I like that. Yep. I'm going to start using that. Thanks for that.
You're welcome. You run the ship over there. You're the.
I do.
It's like that old In Living Color sketch. I am the this, I am the that. I'm the.
Yeah. <know? laughs> It's all on me, man.
It is, and you're doing a great job off the start.
Oh, so. Thanks.
Yes, I listen to shows on the Jenny position, even ones I'm not on. So,
well, lucky for you, you are on one. You were on the first Freak Out Drive-In.
Yes.
On the Jenny position, and we watched the first Zombieland. That's so right. It's all full circle.
Full circle, yes. And thank you for allowing me to be on that show, and thank you for all the lovely things you did say about me in the beginning. So, anyway, so we're here to talk about the sequel, the long-awaited, long-in-the-making sequel to the 2009. Can you believe it came out 10 years ago?
That's crazy.
Yeah, we talked about that. So the biggest thing is like Abigail Breslin was like, what, 12, 13? Now she's like in her early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to her in a minute. So what were your initial thoughts? Were you clamoring for a Zombieland sequel? Do you think we need a Zombieland sequel?
It's tough because I like the movie a lot, and I love post-apocalyptic settings, so, and I love zombies, so it's like, yeah, of course, let's do a second. But then again, with a movie like that, I think it kind of takes away from what made it special. Yeah. And I feel like that was proven
yeah.
By the time I got out of theater. And it's so weird because I think that somebody like Emma Stone, especially, has gone on to do such great things. And I think that Zombieland was like pretty early in her career. And now I think it kind of feels like maybe a step down for her to do a movie like this.
Well, I think it was before, like, she was known, but she really hadn't gotten those. Mm-hmm. She hadn't hit the A-list yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Kind of thing. She hadn't gotten those, you know, offers for those Oscar, her like La La Land and stuff like that.
People didn't know what she could do, really.
Yeah, they didn't know her.
Not yet.
She was like that girl. I mean, Superbad, I think, probably came out before that. And Easy A and I think The House Bunny, I think, were some of her other big roles up before then. But let's just point out right now, we're going to go full spoiler.
Yep.
So if you haven't seen Zombieland Double Tap, pause the podcast, go watch the movie, come back and listen to what Jenny and I have to say. Last warning. Okay. So I thought pretty much it's a zombie movie. You pretty much would go and enjoy it. But if you really wanted to know what kind of was going on and the character motivations, you had to have seen the first one. Do you agree with that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Because we kind of like jump in.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did like, though, that they started with a Metallica song again.
Yes. I was going to mention that as well. Mm-hmm. A better Metallica song, in my opinion. But
yes. Master of Puppets, right? I didn't get this one wrong. I got it wrong on.
You did. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that was good. Yeah. And I liked that they were all still together. Mm-hmm. That was good. And it felt like they were a family. I didn't get a sense of the... Maybe I didn't catch it, but what was the time difference between this one and the first one?
I think they might have said 10 years. I think they might have gone...
Did they say 10 years?
It could be like... I mean, it's been a while, definitely, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't remember them exactly saying... Yeah, I'm trying to look up. Maybe they could... maybe they say it on IMDb, but no, it was... I don't think so. It says... let's see. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they don't really say here on it, but it's been quite a bit of time because she's a little mm-hmm. girl, obviously, and they acknowledge that she's a young woman now.
Yes, yes.
I mean, everybody else looks the same. Yeah. I mean, really, literally.
And Columbus and
Wichita
seem very domestic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But also they seem very like awkward still with each other.
Yeah. Where he's, you could definitely tell like who's the alpha in the relationship, you know, yes. He's the beta no matter what really kind of thing. That's just who he is. What'd you think now of the whole White House
thing? That was cool. I really liked that. That's one of the things that I like about mm-hmm. post-apocalyptic stories is like, getting to go to places that you're not supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that they're just like living it up at the White House, pretty fucking funny to me. And I've always been like one of those kids, like, I wish I could get like locked in the mall after yes. it closes, you know? And like, just that whole like being where you're not supposed to be type excitement. I've always loved. So, yeah, I like that they were there and they did their jokes, yeah, and it was pretty good.
Using the presidential, mm-hmm. Artifacts or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. for wrapping paper or whatever, which was pretty funny. Another thing that I kind of liked, now we talked about this, where are they dead or are they sick? I'm thinking that, you know, I'm still going by that they're sick because we see people turn in this movie.
Yes.
Right. And also they've evolved. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? We had three different evolved, actually four, actually, because they mentioned one later, because they didn't. When Columbus describes the evolved zombies, there's three of them. And then they see the fourth one when they end up getting trapped.
What do they call them?
T-800s from the Terminator.
800s, yeah.
Yeah, because they're not easily killed. Mm-hmm. I mean, but so they have a Homer, which are like the dumb, basically the dumb zombies that just are oblivious to whatever's going on around them and just want to eat what's directly in front of them. You have the Hawkings, which are smarter, mm-hmm. which I kind of like that, how they introduced that, which was, I don't know if you remember, it was the guy like in a lab and he goes running from a zombie and he closes himself in a room that you need a retinal scanner.
Yes.
And then she bites out the eye of the dead eye. Guy.
That was pretty great.
And then you have the ninjas, which were the sneaky zombies that just all of a sudden jump up on you and bite you. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was fun. Then, yeah, of course, you had the T-800s. And we had some new characters join the world. What did you think of Madison? Her shoes were not sensible. I know that.
No. I was like... How has she survived this long?
Yeah. You
know? And it's not that she was dumb, really. It's just she seemed not really capable of surviving on her own. She was cute. You know, mm-hmm. it was good to see some jealousy yes. on Wichita's part. Kind of flipped the script a little bit on that relationship. So that was good to see. What did you think?
Well, I was sitting there the whole time thinking, all right, well... Is she going with the whole name of a city thing, or was her name actually Madison?
That's pretty smart.
So, yeah. So she survived in a freezer
yes. for
however long with mace
yes.
at a mall. So yeah. I guess zombies don't like the cold. I'm guessing we've never really seen a zombie setting though, and really cold. See how that affects them. But
and also, how was the freezer cold for that long? Because wouldn't their electricity be out?
Well, Columbus said, I think the dams. As long as it kept raining, the
That's right. Yeah,
everything was powered. Yeah, powered by dams, I guess.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I thought she was cute. I thought she had an element to it. Mm-hmm. Now, did you think she turned when you saw her kind of like, you know, look like a zombie and throw up like a zombie?
No, I didn't think she turned.
No?
Did you?
I kind of bought it for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then she showed up later. I was like, is she like one some kind of super evolved zombie that can go from, from zombie to people, a person or something? But no. Yeah, so she turned out she had a nut allergy.
Yeah, and there was no way that he shot her. You know, I knew he wasn't going to do that. So,
yeah, that's true. He was like Flounder in Animal House, where he's in the air with the horse. That's probably what he did. And then we let's see what else happens. We go to they end up. Oh, so she leaves and she meets a boy. Well, they leave, right? So mm-hmm. he proposes with the Hope Diamond. Columbus does.
That was amazing. Yes. Wow.
Yes. Any girl would love that. Madison would love it. and then, you know, Little Rock meets Berkeley, mm-hmm. stoner hippie dude, who's trying to pass off like classic songs like Freebird as his own.
With this giant bag of weed, which I did love.
Yes, that was great. I mean, what else is there to do in the zombie apocalypse, really?
Exactly. You know, there you go.
Earlier, we would find an island and just try to figure out how to make alcohol and hope that there's marijuana growing on it. But
you don't have to worry about laws. Yeah. You do whatever you want.
Yeah. And you'd be on an island, so you'd be safe.
Yeah.
Unless somebody turns on an island, then you're screwed. But
yeah, true.
But, go ahead.
This movie has a breakneck speed. There are no slow parts.
Well, I thought it took a little while to pick up in the beginning. Once it does, though, it was, to me at least, I thought it took a little while to get going. They spent a lot of time in the White House, I thought. And then once they left the White House, so that's when the movie really started picking up for me.
I felt like they dipped out quick, you know? Yeah. It was like, I mean, they do their montage or whatever, but then it's like, all right, he proposes and she's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay. And it's only like an hour and 40 minutes.
So. Yeah, it was a short movie.
Yeah, pretty quick.
And then Little Rock leaves her for the boy.
Yes.
So, and then she comes back and it turns out later on she actually does confess that she came back, you know, that she was coming back for him because she missed mm-hmm. him, not mm-hmm. just guns and ammo and stuff. But they end up finding out she goes to Graceland. Because they had talked about that, I guess, earlier.
Another cool location.
Mm-hmm. And Graceland was destroyed. Mm-hmm. But they find whatever the car is called. I forget what they call it. But they then find this like little chapel or whatever, a little motel. Mm-hmm. It's like a shrine to Elvis. I guess, you know, whoever ran the place got all the memorabilia out of Graceland.
And brought it there.
So it turns out it's Nevada, played by Rosario Dawson, who's awesome.
Who is awesome in everything.
Yes, no matter what she's in, she's awesome.
Yes.
What'd you think of her though?
She was really good. Like she kind of disappears. That she doesn't hang out much, and you don't see her again until the end. So, I thought she needed more screen time.
Yes, more Rosario Dawson. I like giving Tallahassee a love interest.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And he was enamored pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't blame him.
Yeah. So speaking of love interest, so then we have, while they're there, we have, was it Santa Fe and Albuquerque, I think they are?
I think so. Yes.
Let's see. Let me look it up.
Luke Wilson and Thomas Middleditch.
Yes. And so basically, no, it's Albuquerque and Flagstaff.
Flagstaff.
So Flagstaff is Luke Wilson, who's basically like Tallahassee.
Yes.
Like Bizarro Tallahassee, I guess. And you have Flagstaff, which is like it's Columbus. And they were like mannerisms and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, Columbus has the rules. Flagstaff has commandments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought it was quite funny. And then they a couple of T-800 show up.
Yep.
And they go outside. Now, did you think they were going to get bit?
I kind of did, because this was one of the one of my reservations when I first watched the trailer for this movie, is I thought that they were going a little bit too heavy-handed on guest appearances. Mm-hmm. So it turned out not being that big of a deal, because they get bitten, and so they're not around long.
Yeah.
And they turn that whole sequence where they zombie out. Mm-hmm. So good. That's probably the best.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the whole movie, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Because they come in, they're all sweaty. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yep.
I'm like, all of a sudden, then you see it, then you see Albuquerque's bite. And then, you mm-hmm. know, everybody looks at Flagstaff. He's like, I'm not bit. And he's all sweaty and covering up. You're like, yeah, fucker, you're bit. Yeah, and then they zomb out, you know. That's why, like, again, that's why I think it's a virus. I don't think they die, actually. I think they just get so
sick. No, I don't think they do. That, which I don't like that, because yeah. I don't think you can be a zombie unless you die.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, zombie maybe gets a loose term, and I guess in this mm-hmm. movie. So all that happens, and they end up, you know, finding them off and uniquely killing these guys.
Yeah.
You know, and then they leave, and Nevada's like, you know, that's kind of like her place, so she's not going to go. And they figure out, you know, that – I forgot how they figure out that they're at this place, Babylon.
I think she told them, or the other two.
No, she overheard him talking about it.
Yeah.
So they take off for Babylon, and that's when they run into Madison again, I believe, after right after they leave – yeah, because we don't see Madison again. She doesn't show pop back up until later on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the clown car.
Yes.
The clown truck or whatever it's called.
All the cars laying there for the taking, and this is what she ends up in.
Yeah. So Berkeley and Little Rock had made it there, and we find out that like there's like a no gun rule. You're like, and I'm like thinking like, how are these people still alive if they're melting down their guns?
Yeah, that's stupid. That's real dumb.
They just sit around smoking weed and kumbaya and all that other shit.
Smoke weed, but you know, have your gun.
Yeah, but they have it somewhat well fortified. But mm-hmm. but you know, as soon as I saw fireworks, I'm like, what are these people, idiots? You know, you just want to attract zombies. I mean, you know, in every no matter what zombie world it is, that's something that will attract zombies. Walking Dead, you know, Dawn of the Dead, whatever. You know, you don't make loud noises and bright lights and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I mean, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm. So then, you know, the other guys make it there with Madison, and they're hanging out. And Tallahassee, you know, says, I'm going to go on my own. Kind of thing. I guess he doesn't want to, you can't tame that wild horse, so to speak.
It's like he decided that he was done with family life, you know?
Because, you know, he got kind of like pushed away
mm-hmm.
by Little Rock, who became like mm-hmm. a surrogate daughter to him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes off. You know, do you think he was heading back to see Nevada?
For sure. Yeah.
That's right. And he sees like the giant horde of T-800s heading towards Babylon, and he turns around and makes his way back there. So what do you think of the final kind of stand against this horde?
It was pretty good. I don't know. It was pretty standard. Not anything blow me away. You know what I mean?
I mean, just like they did it without guns.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's true. But
I mean, we knew that they weren't. Our core four wasn't going to die.
Yeah.
You know, kind of. It was hairy for a second. And then, of course, like you said, Nevada shows back up with the monster truck, which was pretty cool.
That was awesome. Yes, that was the best. I did like the ending part where he faked them all out and got them to jump over the ledge or to fall over the ledge. Yes. That was pretty good.
Well, that was paying off on that story
mm-hmm.
that he told about his heritage.
Yes.
And then, and of course, then there's old, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but there's old screenwriting rule that says, like, if you show a gun in Act 1, you have to fire it by Act 3.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys followed it. So there was a gun. I forgot which president's gun it was that was given by Tallahassee to Little Rock. And you hadn't seen it. And
yeah, he gave it to her for Christmas. Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end, he leads them all off and one or two of them are hanging on to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear a gunshot and there's no guns there. You know, like a smart little girl,
mm-hmm.
she kept the hell to that gun.
Yeah.
And knocked those damn things down.
Saved him.
Mm-hmm.
Like a boss.
Did you stick around for the mid and post credit scenes?
I did. Oh, well, I didn't know there was. I saw the Bill Murray one.
Yeah, they were both actually Bill Murray.
Okay.
So they referenced Bill Murray earlier in the movie by Nevada, saying, you know, don't Murray me.
I don't know if you caught that. Yes.
They say, don't Murray me, which is basically the legend get around that somebody killed Bill Murray thinking he was a zombie.
Yes.
And he wasn't. And he's like, no, who would do that? So at the end, I thought that was funny when he's doing a junket for Garfield 3 when the zombie outbreak happens.
I thought that was the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah. Seeing Al
Roker. Like, there were a couple of laughs, but not anything like the comedy at the end. It was really good.
Yeah. I mean, and how you know, he's taking a selfie with his flip phone. Did we have flip phones in 2009? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember my son was born in 2007, and he was like a baby. He was like a year old when he killed my iPhone 3. Well, he took my iPhone. Like, I had like these little shapes, whatever things that, you know, you put the shapes in place, or it's a barn or whatever with animals. Mm-hmm. And he would play on my phone. And one day he left it, my phone, in a pool of yogurt shake on a beanbag chair. So that killed
fucking
my
kids,
that
man.
Killed my iPhone 3. So yeah, they had flip phones then, and watching Al Roker turn into a zombie was pretty cool.
That was great.
And how Bill Murray just nonchalantly was just killing all the zombies. Like, but whatever was handy. And then the final credit scene.
I didn't see that one.
Oh God, I'm trying to remember. It was like it was Bill Murray still doing like a hairball thing or something.
Oh.
I think he was doing it in Spanish. So if you didn't stick around for the post-credit scene, you know, that's what that's what you missed. So what do you think overall though? You think it was worth it, or is this just like a cash grab, you think?
I'm so torn because I really did like the first one, and I don't want to say bad things. And it wasn't bad. It was just like, nothing was elevated, right? On a sequel, I feel like you got to have bigger stakes, something different. You know what I'm saying? You can't make the same movie. And I felt like it was the same movie.
Yeah.
The only thing that was a little bit different was like the evolution of the zombies. And even that wasn't like a huge deal because they would kill, you know, they killed them. It's not like they were unkillable, you know? So, and even the character growth felt a little bit underserved. And they all seemed a little bored, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel like anybody was really giving it their all in this movie. And in their defense, it's not that hard. You know what I'm saying? So it's not bad. It's worth a watch. I mean, it's throw it on, you know, while you're folding clothes or something, mm-hmm. but it's not, it's popcorn. It's not anything amazing.
It's popcorn.
Yeah, exactly.
The first one was popcorn, but it was like, you know, there was a lot going on. There was a lot, mm-hmm. You know, maybe what they could have done was, you know, the first one was called Zombie Land. Maybe they called the next one Zombie World.
Yeah.
You know, because they had to go to Zombie Land, which was an amusement park in California. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. they could have made Zombie World, which was just a bigger version of it in Florida. Kind of like how Disneyland, Disney World kind of thing.
Well, that wouldn't really help with my they made the same movie argument, but.
Well, it would have maybe raised the stakes with a bigger
yeah.
something. I don't know. I was just thinking out the box.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the landmark thing is cool, you know, with the White House and that stuff. And
yeah, that is cool. I will admit that.
I mean, yeah, for me, I went in with fairly low expectations because it was in the works for so long that, mm-hmm. you know, there was no way they could capture Lightning in a Bottle no. again. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't going to be as good. But I did laugh a few times. I mean, they were self-aware,
mm-hmm.
You know, some of their jokes. What do you think of her finally accepting his proposal at the end with Wichita and Columbus?
That was sweet, but even then again, it just felt like, meh, I guess I'll do this, you know, like.
Yeah, ain't nothing else better out there.
Yeah, it's not like she was like super in love with him or anything, and she just felt like, okay, this is good enough. Like, I settled, but, you know, what else are you going to find, really, but.
And then Madison kind of hooks up with Berkeley as well.
Yes, that was funny. I did like that little twist. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe The Walking Dead has like conditioned me for a lot more drama when it comes to zombies, and I can't switch over to this more comedic take on the world. Maybe that's what it is. Because I mean, fuck. In the interim. You know, between this movie and the second movie, I've watched 10 years of The Walking Dead. So, yeah. And it's all, you know, as slow as it can be at times, but there's a lot of relationship building and character development and things like that in The Walking Dead, good or bad. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm not in this mind frame.
Yeah, you kind of zombies are kind of the norm, right?
You know, maybe so.
I mean, you have Fear of the Walking Dead, and there's another one coming, another Walking Dead series coming up. I mean, you know, I'm still catching up on the latest season of Fear. I still have like 8 episodes, I think, of my DVR. I'm watching a new season of regular Walking Dead proper.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we've had World War Z in that time. We've had many other. Movies. I'm not sure if Shaun of the Dead came out before or after Zombieland. I think it probably came out before.
I think it was before.
Yeah. So, but, you know, yeah, it's zombies are nothing new. And mm-hmm. you kind of got to, you know, show me something else now.
Yeah, because it should be more about the characters, the survivors, than it is about the zombies.
Yeah.
And this, they had a real good first outing on all the character development. But this, I just didn't feel like it grew much, really.
No, they were like the same characters for the most
part. Yeah, they were the same characters, and maybe that's my problem. So I was, after this long into the apocalypse, you kind of feel like you're not going to be that same person you were at the beginning.
You're not, you're a piece of delivery boy.
Yeah. Who's
kind of like, you know, an errand guy and a gopher, and then you're the friggin' man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tough guy who can survive in anything, even you know, under a dumpster.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a reference to
hashtag I'm, magic dumpster.
Yes. I'm actually listening to it right now. Jenny, you appeared on the latest episode of the Hard Traveling Fanboys.
I did.
With Greg and Nick. And you guys talked about the 5, in your opinion, worst episodes of The Walking Dead.
And we did.
It's a great listen. I'm still listening to it. So I'm wait to hear what your number 2 and number 1 is. I think that's as far as I got. So that's a cheap plug
for
the HTFs and Jenny there.
That's my favorite kind of plug.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we're all about cheap plugs here at Place Nation and the Jenny position for that.
True. Matter. Yes.
All right. So any final thoughts on Zombieland Double Tap? Do you think we'll see a Zombieland, I don't know, triple, whatever?
No, man. Yeah. I don't think so.
I think they're done. We don't want to see the adventures of Madison and Berkeley.
No. And not unless it's a porn. I'll watch that. But they're both pretty hot.
Yeah, she was pretty hot. I mean, I'm not saying about him, but he's kind of a hippie guy. He probably smelled horrible.
Well, he had all that weed, so it don't matter.
Yeah, he could look like whatever, but he got all that weed. Yeah, okay, I'll hook up with you. I'll be good. You smoke enough, you'll look hot. The only thing that would have made him hotter if he had sweatpants on, right?
Ooh, don't even with that.
Awesome, awesome. So, Jenny, what's going on over there at the Jenny position?
Okay, well, I did mention that episode of Freak Out Drive-In that you were on. That is the second episode. And then we did Talk and Pop. Me and Tim talked to Scott Griscolo, and we reviewed the reboot of BH90210, the little six-episode series that they did that we ended up really enjoying. And then Geek and Sassy is also on that feed. We've had a CW preview show, which you should have already listened to by now, because CW shows have already started back. And then our latest one was episode 38, I think, with Reads, Streams, and Downloads. So we talked about books and TV shows, and of course, Nerd Eye Candy. And then the newest one that we'll be dropping this week is different. It's one of the reasons why I started my own feed. It's, people always kind of misinterpret when I tell them this, what it is. So it's called Telling Stories. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's basically just me reading a story. So it's, if you listen to like No Sleep podcasts or things like that, where it's audio fiction, horror, whatever. The stories won't always be horror. I just went horror because of October and Halloween, whatever. So it's a scary story, basically. I found an author who wrote this, and he let me read his story, and I made it myself. I got all the music and stuff dubbed underneath it, and I got somebody to sing me a theme song for telling stories.
Awesome.
So I'm really, 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 really excited about this, and I hope that people listen to it and like it, because I had so much fun making it, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever made. And that story also has a sequel that I've already recorded, so I've got to get that out. So hopefully those will be dropping like sort of back-to-back, because I wanted some sort of Halloween-themed content on there. But check it out. I'm really proud of it, and let me know what you think. I'm on Twitter, at Jenny Position. I also have a Facebook page. You can go on there and like it and talk to me there. Leave some reviews. That would be great. I like to read my reviews on my shows. So if you leave me a 5-star review, I will read it on a show for you.
That's awesome. It sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks. Will definitely check that out. It sounds like there are some other shows out there that that do that, and you're probably a great compliment to them. I've listened to, it's not around anymore, but the character actor Stephen Tobolowsky had a show called The Tobolowsky Files, where he just told stories of his life.
Oh, nice.
And I love, yeah, just listening to a great story and a great storyteller can really make like your commute or your whatever go fast and get you sucked in. So I'm looking forward to downloading and listening.
It's that genre of podcast that I'm most love. Like, No Sleep was one of my very first podcasts I ever started listening to. So I'm addicted to that form of podcasting. I think it's fantastic. And also, I wanted to say, if there are any writers or musicians that have stuff that you want me to use on the show, I am accepting those. If you have, it doesn't have to be scary, but any kind of story that you want read on a podcast, I'll read it for you. So just, awesome. You can also email me, thejennyposition@gmail.com.
All right.
Always forget that I have an email.
So. Yeah. You kind of need that.
Yeah. Kinda need that.
Awesome. So what's going on over here with me and the Placement Nation Pop feed? It should be going up. Hopefully by the time you guys hear this, the latest episode of The Great Debate. I had the Godfather, Nate Milton, Peter Winston, and Matt Souza on the show. It was all truly a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. Those guys are awesome.
That is a trio of trouble, right?
It was a trio of trouble. Nate just lights up a room.
He does.
You know, Pete makes all these obscure references, and then, then you got Sousa that just cuts through the bullshit. Basically, those guys.
That is perfectly described.
Those guys in a nutshell. You know, we talked about actors who play Superman. She was like, I hate Superman, so I'm like, okay, y'all. You know, but I'm going to say anything. I'm going to say Christopher Reeve with that Boston accent.
I love his accent.
Yeah, I had two Boston accents with Peter on there, too.
Oh, my God.
We talked about the sitcom tournament, which is starting soon. We're doing the greatest sitcom of all time. And Peter's like, I'm taking Mr. Belvedere as the number 12 seed in the Wichita, Kansas region. You know, and Nate wants those Lethal sitcoms to do well. So if you listen to the Main Event, you'll understand that joke. So that's coming up. And Jenny, you and I are getting together with your geeky sassy partner, Miranda. We're going to look at, we have three major holidays coming up. We have Halloween, which is like about 10 days away. And then we have Thanksgiving and Christmas. And one of my favorite things about the holidays every year are the specials on TV. And my favorite of the specials that have been on since before I was born, even though, yes, I am old. But, you know, I've been watching them since I was a kid. And you've watched them, Miranda. Everybody's watched them. That's the Charlie Brown Snoopy Peanuts holiday specials. And so we're going to do special editions of, I'm calling them Laughing Theater Shorties.
Nice.
Quickies, or I don't know how we're going to
turn quickies,
it.
Yeah, quickies.
Quickies,
like that.
Where you and I and Miranda are, we're going to get together and we're going to live watch each one of these. And you'll have, those will be posted. Hopefully we'll get them the time out when they're going to be on TV. I mean, I know many people own the specials, but it'd be nice if we can get them out there when they're on. So you can kind of put them on at the same time, kind of hear, because I've got a lot to say about these specials, actually.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Especially Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I got words for Peppermint Patty.
Can't wait.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, podcasting with two of my favorite people on things that, you know, are a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about our favorite traditions. It's just going to be like nice little holiday, you know, short, quickie pods. All right, cool. And then also look for new episodes of Laughing Theater, possibly another episode Looking Forward, Looking Back. Check out all the Halloween content, especially Mr. Criscolo's Pop Goes the Classics, which is, he's done an outstanding job. He really has set the bar high for these for this series. And there's going to be, I'm actually got a series coming up starting in January with Miranda. We're going to take a look at the Walt Disney classic animated features, starting at Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and we're going to work our way forward.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah, our plan is to do about one a month, because I know, you know, you got her pretty busy with Geek and Sassy and stuff. And plus there's going to be Pop Goes the Movies, all kinds of other fun stuff that comes up here and there. We got some movies coming out, like, early next year. We have Doolittle, we have, Harley Quinn or whatever, Birds of Prey, whatever the hell that thing's called, the Emancipation Proclamation of Harley Quinn or some shit, I don't know.
Fantabulous.
Yes. Yeah. And don't forget to check out everything that's going on at placebnation.com. We have constant articles. Jenny, did you, let me, one last thing before we let everybody go. Jenny, sure. Did you see the Jungle Cruise trailer?
I did see the Jungle Cruise trailer.
And what are your thoughts?
And I'm angered that Emily Blunt, who is lovely and very talented actress, is stuck in a movie with The Rock. But it does kind of look fun.
It does look like fun. It does. I was surprised. I didn't think they were going to go in this direction.
Yeah, me neither. But I'm gritting my teeth and shifting my eyes as I say that. It does look fun.
All right. So we'll look forward to hearing Jenny's thoughts later on once we get closer to that movie next year. But I want to say thank you to Jenny. For joining me tonight. You know, we got to talk our zombies again. It's kind of our thing.
It is.
So remember, don't forget, check out the Jenny Position. Lots of great shows, lots of great content. Jenny is doing a spectacular job, so give her a listen over there. And don't forget, check out Place Nation Pop right on this feed, Place to Be Nation Wrestling, place2bnation.com. So, for Jennifer Smith, I am Andy Aston. Thank you for joining us in this episode of Pop Goes Movies. We'll see you next time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay. Oh God.